went to Chautauqua Park, where Graber was known to go for walks. Her body was found covered up following a severe head trauma. For her students, those details are unthinkable.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's Shelby again with Hooks, Books, and Crime, and it's Craft and Story time. Today I'm actually making a spider top. I'm doing the back panel right now, so that's how it looks so far. I'm 7 rounds in. I've got a few more to go, but I'm making this because I'm going to the Atreyu 20th anniversary tour for The Curse. It's totally full circle for me because literally 20 years ago was the first time I went to Atreyu. I saw them with Chiodos and Who From First to Last and Every Time I Die. Mwah. What a showman. Every time I've seen them, I mean, Atreyu too. I'm super excited for Atreyu, but I don't think I ever, I guess it's also because Every Time I Die isn't around anymore. And I know the other guys got together, but the vocalist isn't there, and he was a hell of a showman. So I'm just super excited. I saw this show in 2005, freshman year, and I'll be seeing it, and that was in September of 2005. Now I'll be seeing them in November of 2025. What a way to feel old, though. Sad face. Anyway, so the story I have for you is a good one. I mean, they're all downers, they're all sad, but I think the reason why this always resonated with me was one, the effects of the pandemic that we hear about constantly that some people have had, as well as this woman really reminds me of someone that I had back in high school. And I'll get into all of that. But yeah, if you're crafting with me, go ahead and grab your stuff. If you're cleaning, driving, let's just get going. I'm excited. Now, and so what's annoying about this is I've literally recorded this whole episode already. And because I'm smart, I just assumed that when I was exporting everything that it was all good. So I deleted everything. Boy, was I wrong. It only exported the second half of the episode and I couldn't recover any of it. So I have to do this all over again. Oh my God. It's so ridiculous. I swear. But I'm hoping because I mean, I did this a few days ago. There's really no reason. I swear if my first cut comes out better than my second, I would be pissed because we just did all of this. And with all the editing and everything, you know, you hear all of it multiple times. So I have no excuse. But we shall see. I don't know why I crossed my eyes at my microphone and everything. That was weird. Okay. But yeah. So, alrighty. It is November 2nd. In 2021, and a 911 call comes in to Fairfield, Iowa. And the caller, his name is Paul Graber. And Paul is calling because his ex-wife, Noema Graber, she hasn't arrived home. They're divorced, but they're still very close. And Noema, you know, we're all creatures of habit. Noema, her habit, the way she liked to end her day, was after she finished work, and she was a school teacher. She was a high school Spanish teacher. She would go to a local park and have a nice walk. That was the way she would decompress and just take in the scenery. This is Iowa, so you got the four seasons. It's November, which I'm in the South, so I'm probably very wrong, but I don't think I'm that wrong. But you have the changes of color in the foliage. It's probably a little brisk, so it's not hot the way it can be here in November. It sounds beautiful. I totally get why she is doing this. Nature really does has a way of bringing you back in and washing away whatever's there, or just clear your head. It sounds amazing. And she left school. She was at her job. She never came home for her walk. And Paul is ruled out. The investigation starts immediately. This is a small town. But it's from what it seems like, it's a small town that doesn't feel like a small town, if that makes sense. I don't know how to explain that, but that's the sense I get just from hearing about this little town. But, so, she's missing. The next day, November 3rd, Noema Graber's body is actually found in the park. She's found towards the north side of the park, and she's actually bludgeoned to death. Somebody beat her to death, and specifically, all completely aiming for the head. And this is an older woman also, which really like grinds my gears. I hate that. I hate crime on children. Murder's terrible. But every time it's children and like people who are older, I feel like you're being an asshole. And is that a fucking ghost? Oh, Wilfred. You can't see him. But my dog just walked in. Oh my god. Let me see. Where you at? There he is. Wilfred. That's Wilf. He's so cute. Oh my god, you fucking scared me though. I don't want my door behind me now. I'm scared. Okay. So I'm sorry. Okay. So, then she's found under, there's a tarp covering her, railroad ties, as well as a wheelbarrow. Don't ask me what railroad ties are. I said ties, not tides. Ties. I said I was going to Google these, and even in like my first cut, I said I was going to Google them. I still didn't. Sorry. Maybe I'll put a picture up. Don't count on it, though. I don't know. They find her there, and, you know, they start asking around because really this is most definitely a beloved member of the community. Everybody seems to adore her. Her students have great things to say about her. Her peers, her coworkers, nobody knows anybody who could have this much of, like, I guess, venom towards her. They can't think of anybody. So when they go ahead and they go to her school and they start just interviewing students, two kids come up. Well, mainly one. I'm not even going to say two. One kid comes up. His name being Willard Chaden Miller. I swear that wasn't a ghost. That's my man coming home. I heard him, so I'm not going to freak out that time. Okay, but so Willard Chaden Miller comes up and he's a 16-year-old student, and he comes up because apparently this kid, like, one, they had heard him just recently arguing with her about her grade, about his grade. She failed him on something, and he's pissed because it's going to lower his GPA, and because now he can't go on the trip to Spain. Like, excuse me? Spain? What school are y'all going to? Damn. But I mean, I don't know. I guess that's like such a foreign concept to me because of the school I went to. That just didn't happen. At most classes, they didn't even leave the state. We went to Houston to see NASA. I think that's, yeah. I don't even know where my senior trip went. I didn't go. But yeah. So he wasn't going to get to go to Spain. And he's like, oh no, I hate her. Me. So he's pissed about that. And students also, a bunch of his friends came forward, not a bunch, but some other students came forward, and just to report like these horrible things he had been saying. And they really recalled right away that as it's gotten closer to this date that she's gone missing, they've become more personal, more malicious, and more intentional. This kid was saying things like, first it was just kind of like threats and just like, yeah, like this disdain for her, and then it eventually turned into, well, don't get attached, she's not going to be here much longer anyway. Like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? So when she went missing, these kids were just like, that guy, look at him, don't look at me, I think she's great. And I mean, she really was. So Noema Graber was this Spanish teacher. She's from Jalapa, Veracruz, Mexico. She was a flight attendant. She got one of the first women in her area, I think even Mexico, to receive her pilot's license. And she just seemed like this beacon of light. She wanted everybody to smile. She wanted everybody to be happy. She seemed just like grateful to be alive, and she wanted to live, and she wanted to experience life with everybody. She just wanted to make people smile And I mean, what a teacher to have. What a mom to have. You have all this positivity, and she seems like she had a lot of patience. She had standards, though. And that's what you need in a teacher. She definitely was not this teacher who was going to pass the buck off to the next teacher. Like, you know what? I'm done with this kid. He's the next teacher's problem. That wasn't her. She wanted you to grow. She wanted... And I mean, really, that's preparing someone for healthy adulthood. Understanding that, one, things don't go your way. If you want something, you need to put the effort in. And if it was easy to get, probably wasn't worth having in the first place. She's teaching a work ethic. Like, and not just that, what a person to teach you a work ethic, not some hard ass who's just talking down to you. She was encouraging, but stern. And I feel like those are always the most effective teachers. And she really resonated with me, because I had a Spanish teacher named Mrs. Torres. And I swear to God, this woman and her must have been like spiritually connected in their mission and their purpose in life, because Mrs. Torres was the same way. She was this tiny little woman with the biggest smile, and she was just so fun, and just, she wanted her students to be happy. And if she was going through something or she was having a bad day, you wouldn't tell. You really could not tell, because she parked it with her car and she was here for you. And she wanted you to learn, and she wanted to experience the growth of her students with them. And that's how Noema Graber was. And her and Paul, apparently they met at a party years before, like, she had this career and everything. And then one day, Paul is in, he's back in Mexico because he has a layover. He's in Jalapa. And he thinks to himself, dude, you brought yourself into this room. You're going to stay here. He goes ahead and decides that, you know, I'm going to call Noema up. This is like 10, 11 years down the line, which, I mean, what a compliment to just sit in someone's head that long. Like, you're that memorable. You met one, maybe a few more times, and this person really remembered you. You brought something. You had this light, this aura. There was something so that made him so drawn to her that he remembered her after all these years. So they go out and they hit it off. They get married. He settles down with them in Mexico. In 1991, their first son, Christian, is born. And in 1992, their son, Jared, is born. And like, ugh, my girl had them back to back. I did not have mine back to back, but I had two under two. Ooh, not for the weak. But I feel like with her, again, I feel like this woman was just, what's the word I'm looking for? Really enthralled herself in new motherhood. And even when there was battles and the sleepless nights and the frustration and the fatigue, she seems like she was the kind of woman who would just come back down to gratitude and could push forward. Like, really, when I was going through all my postpartum shit, I wish I would have had someone like that around me. That would have been amazing, because the struggle was real. And so after they have their children, because of the crime in the area, they decide that, you know, it's probably best that they relocate. So they relocate to Fairfield, Iowa, which is Paul's hometown. And Fairfield, Iowa, it's always on these lists of best places to live and stuff like that. And the thing is it's not on all these lists. It's never suited to one demographic. If you're single and if you're just a single person, it's on the list. If you're a married couple looking to raise a family, it's on the list because of school districts, small businesses. It kind of has something for everybody. So they move there. And I mean, what a cruel irony. You leave where you were because of the crime only to suffer such a horrible demise. It's, life is so weird, man. It's heartbreaking, really. So, again, Willard, he goes by Chaden, so I'm just going to refer to him as Chaden. I mean, what a selection to choose from, really. Willard or Chaden? Like, I know we're not supposed to talk shit about people's names, but... Willard or Chaden? Okay. Anyway, so they start looking into this kid, and I mean, when I say the dots connected to themselves, they really did. They just spun their little web for them. And I mean, this went quick. November 5th, Chaden and his friend Jeremy are actually arrested for the murder of Noema. And I mean, how did they come to this conclusion? Conclusion. How did they come to this so quickly? Well, first, so again, Noema was a creature of habit. So everybody knew that she went to this park. She always went to the same park and would walk the trail. Her van is seen arriving at about 4 o'clock, and it's Noema driving. She is for sure there. But when the van leaves, nobody sees Noema driving. They see two boys driving, and she's nowhere to be found. Now, a witness comes forward, and it turns out that... So, there's this road, and that's actually the road that leads to where they actually find her van abandoned, because the body and the car were separated. Where they find the van... Somebody actually drove past going the opposite direction as the van and said the same thing. Their two boys were driving. It's like, okay. And then another person comes forward and says they witnessed two boys and they described them to a T. They described what they were wearing, everything. That these two boys came and they were actually walking back, and a friend of theirs comes forward and even says that they called, saying that they were in this area, asking for them to, for him to pick them up. Good boy said no. He's like, nah, I'm good. Good on him. I mean, it's not like I would hope he wouldn't get tried for that. I feel like he wouldn't unless he really knew, but still, it's just better not to be in the mix at all. Sorry about her. My cat, by the way, for those listening like on Spotify, excuse her. So we have all of this, all of these witnesses who saw. Then there's the kids who overheard the threats that he was making towards her. The kids who heard them arguing right before. So there's that. And then when they search the houses, they find clothes with blood on them. They find two bats that have hair and some material on there. And then probably the most incriminating thing, really, like if this wasn't enough, Snapchat. The boys Snapchatted pictures of them with the wheelchair. What the hell am I saying today? I need to go to bed. The wheelbarrow, the bleach, and they're making comments. Oh my God, I gotta find it. I can't remember what it says. I'll put it up here though. It says something like, caught a body, or in like new wheelbarrow who dis, like, dumb shit. So, and then on Chaden's phone, there is literally a prep list, and it says stun, move body off the trail. What is it? Load cargo, unload cargo, things like this. Well, actually, no, that was under procedure. Prep was what he's going to need: gloves, bleach, wheelbarrow, bats. And again, like literally just weaving the web himself. Doing it all for the police. And also, this one's my favorite, honestly. The other thing is on his phone were Google searches, such as, what happens to your grades if your teacher dies? Bitch, what do you think happens? It fucking stays. What do you, like, oh, we just wiped the slate clean because she just, like, that's not how it works. That's how you know this idiot is 16. Stop playing adult games as teenagers. I swear. I mean, really, if you're going to do this shit, at least you're being just fucking stupid. So it's going to work out for us and not you. But my, over a grade. And like, so let's just make this clear also. So this is November, meaning it's the start of the semester. He can get the GPA back up. Also, he's a sophomore. So it's not like this is final. This is going to go with him to college. Now he'll have to take remedial Spanish, something like that. I don't know. It's dumb. Just dumb. And it gives spoiled. Most definitely, it gives spoiled. So, Jeremy and Chayden are arrested for this. And so, who's Jeremy? Jeremy, and aside from this sticking out because of how similar Noema was to the Spanish teacher I had, Jeremy's story, the duality between the two boys is just, it's fascinating in a way, because they, two different backgrounds, and just one, honestly, it's just a difference in attitude, and you'll see what I mean. I'll put like their statements and stuff. I'll put some stuff up for, so you can see the difference. But Jeremy is, he's also 16. He's Chayden's best friend. But Jeremy is definitely a hurt kid. Over the recent years, this kid's gone through a lot. And that doesn't condone his behavior. That doesn't condone his actions and his choices. And I most definitely think that was part of the case here with him. One boy is clearly spoiled. And I don't believe he's a narcissist or anything like that. I know, like, people love to throw that word around right now. It's such a buzzword. And it's always somebody's ex-boyfriend. You ever notice that? It's always somebody's ex-boyfriend who's a narcissist. I'm not saying the guy wasn't wrong in these cases. I don't know. But I'm not going to lie. I'm to the point now when somebody calls somebody a narcissist, I'd start to think like they're the narcissist. So I'm not even going to play that game. It could be bad parenting. It could be a mix. And then sometimes you have parents who try everything. They do everything they can. And the kid's just shitty. The person's just going to do what they want to do. He's 16. He's not 9. So, you know, you got that working against you too. But back to the case. So as soon as the boys are arrested, fingers start getting pointed. Both of them are claiming that they were the lookout and the other one is actually who killed Noema. And as it is, like, in Chayden's interview, he's very nonchalant, and I mean, this kid looks like he to himself, he thinks he's got this in the bag, which is so far from the truth. But he has this attitude to him, this cockiness, if you will, an arrogance. And that's, like, until they're literally asking him, like, is there any reason why you specifically would be identified in the area? And he's like, no. And like the detective even says, like, no, nobody's, like, I'm not, this isn't a hypothetical. You have been specifically named. And then, I mean, he pushes it to a point where he has this asinine story of that he was walking and a gang of teenagers in masks made him kill her, because that makes sense, right? Like, a gang of teenagers. What is this, an 80s movie? A gang of teenagers. Did they have rollerblades? Hockey sticks? That's what I picture. Almost like Casey Jones, but, you know, evil. But, like, that didn't make sense. So obviously that fell through really quick. And then on the other end, you have Jeremy. Jeremy's trying to avoid, and then eventually he confesses to it. And by Jeremy's account, what had happened was, so the boys basically surveilled her to see her habit, find where was the best place in the park to commit this. And then on the day of the attack, you know, they were walking, they saw her, and they, you know, waved to her, "Hi, Mrs. Graber." And they pounced. One of them looked back to make sure there was nobody behind them, nobody near them to see, and they hit her with the bat. They then dragged her off of the trail. And according to Jeremy, Chayden was the one who killed her. or who kept hitting her, rather. But then Jeremy even says, once we were leaving, I looked back and he went back and finished her off. So he's just as guilty. And they just went home, you know, they did all these things to dispose of the body and to move the van and try to throw off police, which did not work. And again, all while fucking sending Snapchats. And of course, you know, they deleted these messages after. But again, tell me you're 16 without telling me you're 16. They don't really delete. It's all recoverable. So that they have that as evidence also. So originally, these boys plead not guilty. But with the evidence just so stacked against them, it's just, there's no way around it, really. They go ahead and change it to guilty. They have to. They're charged with first-degree murder and what's called conspiracy to commit forcible felony. And that second charge is a mandatory life in prison. It's mandatory to be tried as an adult. And Iowa State does have a rule where if you are tried as an adult, as a minor, you cannot get life without the possibility of parole. That's just not a thing. And I know in some cases, I'm sure that's upsetting, but I get it. I definitely get it, especially these boys are 16. What if they live till they're 90? It's just, you make dumbass decisions as teenagers, and I can understand that they feel that they have a bigger chance at rehabilitation. And you'll see what I mean through their statements when they address the victim's family. You'll see what I mean. And Chayden's parents, when they were on the stand, Chayden's mom, really, she just complained about how, I guess she felt like the police tricked her, that they didn't. She wasn't aware that Chayden was being questioned because she wouldn't have allowed it. Very me. Chayden. That was her whole thing. And when they talk to Jeremy's dad, it shines a light on what Jeremy was going through. That along with this, and you know, I'll play it. Like, if you just listen.
The as I understand things, generally, the divorce would have happened around 7, and she would have moved to Colorado when Jeremy was around the age of 10. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Based on your observations, what was Jeremy's relationship like with his mother after she moved to Colorado?
Well, initially there was some contact, some phone calls and things, but again, it wasn't really a relationship with this mother anymore. Her phone conversations were being dominated and commandeered on the other end by her current boyfriend. So his relationship with his mother, kind of non-existent really. It was with something else.
Did Jeremy ever visit his mother in Colorado? I think you just alluded to that.
No, just the one time.
Can you tell the court about Jeremy's one-time visit with his mother in Colorado?
Yeah, with a telling detail. We kind of knew in advance that it could be a sketchy experience for Jeremy, so I actually had a safe word for him when we called on the phone. And the first time I talked to him on the phone, he used that safe word.
So, do you recall originally how long it was planned that Jeremy was going to go visit his mother?
Approximately 1 week.
And did Jeremy stay for the duration of what was anticipated?
No, he did not.
He used his safe word and you made arrangements to have Jeremy return to you in Fairfield, is that correct?
Yeah, I believe he might have been 10 or 11 years old at the time. They told me they were just going to send him on a Greyhound bus and send him back home, and I said, no, you're not, and to make sure that he flew back.
How did COVID impact Jeremy's day-to-day routine?
You know, his mom kind of abandoned him.
Take your time.
interpersonal relationships were so important to him. And we spent 2.5 years in a global war against interpersonal interactions. It devastated him.
So you hear that, and again, doesn't condone his actions, doesn't excuse him of this choice, nothing like that. It's nothing like that. But it's heartbreaking. Again, hurt people. And this kid really sounds like, I don't think, because that was the thing with Jeremy, is it's not like he was also failing this class, so he hated. Nobody said that Jeremy was saying anything bad about Mrs. Graber, not the way Chaden was. And Jeremy was failing other classes. So that motive that Chaden has of it ruining his GPA and him arguing with her, there's nothing like that with Jeremy. He was failing other classes. What was he going to do? Kill all of them? That wasn't the thing. I really think this came down to Jeremy already being abandoned by his mom. His sisters are gone, or some of his sisters have moved out. He spent COVID alone, not learning, you know, fucking off and playing games, which a lot of kids did. And a lot of kids struggled coming back. This, you get to remember, this was the first year that kids came back to school in person in 2021. This was the first year that kids came back. So the idea that people were, I'm sure, were still on edge, you know, people were still very afraid of the pandemic. I don't know how Iowa was. I know Texas was very different compared to other states. But people were still on edge. And for a teacher to be murdered within months of the school year starting it's terrifying. But I definitely feel like for Jeremy, because Chaden was his best friend, I feel like a lot of this was more like a ride or die situation. Like, I'll help you. Just don't leave me. That's how I feel about this kid. Or not how I feel about him, but that's kind of what I get from this whole thing. There's clearly one that was more dominant and one who just didn't want to lose anybody else, I think. As if this family couldn't, you know, didn't have enough going on. Paul Graber died from cancer like a week before the sentencing. Again, everything was stacked up against them that they pled guilty. Which, honestly, I'm grateful that Noema's family, her children, didn't have to see this. I completely forgot, I'm sorry, when they moved here, she had 3 kids. When they moved to Iowa, she gave birth to her daughter, Noema Marie. And I don't know why I forgot to mention her. I guess because I'm trying to, since this is my second cut, I'm just going through everything. But, so I'm sorry if this is rushed. But I'm glad her 3 kids didn't have to go through a lengthy trial. Could you imagine a long trial? And as it is, just trying to get to everything because one lawyer wanted a change of venue. One lawyer did not want the boys tried together. Jeremy's lawyer did not want the boys tried together because of the difference in, like, they both had different versions of what happened, which makes sense. If these boys are telling 2 different stories, it's probably best that it be separate. And of course, change of venue because more than likely they weren't going to get a free trial. But I'm also grateful, again, like, these kids didn't have to go through that, especially such a long, if it would have gone to trial, it would have been a long-ass trial, and then their dad dies. How does that work? Does court kind of skip a day so you can go to the funeral, or do you choose to go to my mom's trial or my dad's funeral? How does that work? That sounds awful. And it's really too much for anybody. Nobody should have to deal with that. But Noema's kids had to bear this. Her friends had to bear this. Paul's friends had to bear this.
I would like to take this opportunity to wholeheartedly accept responsibility for the role that I've played in the murder of Noema Graber. I would like to apologize for my actions, first and foremost, to the family. I'm sincerely sorry for the distress that I've caused you and the devastation that I've caused your family. And from the bottom of my heart, I am sorry for your loss. I'm sorry to hear about Paul Graber.
Years ago, I made the worst decision of my life, and I take full responsibility for what I did. And today, as a young man, I can begin to pay for that. I can never give back what I've taken. But I hope that this situation doesn't end as tragically as it began, and that someday something positive can come from this tragedy.
Chayden gets life in prison with a minimum of 35 years because he's most definitely the ringleader. And Jeremy gets life in prison with a minimum of 25 years. And I hear that and I just think of how much technology has changed in just the past 10 years. I really can't imagine where we're going to be when they're even eligible for parole, let alone let out. I can't imagine it. It sounds like this crazy Twilight Zone kind of thing, honestly. And then her kids, they start a foundation and they try to live their day the way Noema always wanted them to, which was to always be smiling and to enjoy life and enjoy to live and be in the moment. And that's what her students seem to say also. Her students loved her. They really had nothing but nice things to say about this woman. There was a candlelight vigil when she died. She definitely had an impact on these kids. And, you know, because some families are just, I forgot their names, but the guys who did the Belongalo murders in Australia, their mother was a fucking nightmare. She's just a shit woman with shit kids. And I mean, if that's harsh to say, you look it up. She had 13 fucking kids that were always in prison and always doing dumb shit. And she was just like, no, they didn't. They didn't. So no, I can say that she's a shit fucking person. So I don't feel bad for her. But I do feel bad for Jeremy's family, his sisters. It's their only brother and they're never, you know, they get to see him behind bars now. Same thing for his dad's, his only son. I even feel bad for Jeremy's mom to a degree. It sounds like she was in a very toxic relationship. And when her son needed her the most, she couldn't get to him. Maybe she felt trapped. That's rough. I think the dad, his father's testimony is what really killed me, though. Because I can just tell that man blames himself. I can tell that he thinks of what he could have done differently to help his son through all of this. And I even feel bad for Chayden's parents because, like I said, I don't agree with the mom just making it more about how the police fucked up and not holding her son accountable. But again, hard pill to swallow. You want to keep some semblance of the reality that you were just in, that your son's a good kid and would never do anything like this. And, you know, the smoke is clearing and you have to see it. But I have no doubt that the community probably treated them differently also. There's probably questioning the home life, the kind of parents they were, all of their dirty laundry getting aired out. People get really vicious and they really just need a slight push or just a little opening for it all to come out, what they really think about someone. But it's great to hear that this victim, Noema, that she touched so many lives. And I really wish all of them the best, her kids the best. And I hope those boys turn it around while they're in prison. They're young. You can change when you're that young. It's harder to change when you're older. But that is the tragic story of Noema Graber. I'm sorry if I rushed through this. I'm trying to go off of memory instead of stopping and checking my notes. I didn't really crochet anything. Eee. sad. But I thank y'all for joining me. Please like, share, subscribe, follow. I'm on TikTok, Instagram. I don't get to post as much. I've got so much going on. TikTok, Instagram. I have a Facebook now. It's like the one I'm least active on, but I'm working on it. But yeah, I thank you for joining me, and I'll catch you on the next one. Okay, bye.